When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Mabels, aka Jay Mapes, here with the Bro Kings. It's just us this week. I think it'd been like three in a row we had a guest. Back to the duo this week. What's going on, my boy?
It's going good, man. It's actually pretty feels pretty weird not having a guest this time around. Got so many this year.
That's good. I mean, they rocking with us, man. How's the weekend, bro?
And busy weekend, but I got, you know, watched some games in. Looking like we're shaping up to have a great playoffs. All-Star Hoops is back. We're actually talking about the product on the court now. It seems like on social media, which is good news.
Yeah, man. We, you know, some of y'all know, or most of y'all know already, I put it out there. We, the JUCO team, my coach, we lost in the Sweet 16 in the playoffs. Rough one at Sequoias, but we hung in there, man. We were 2-20. Through that COVID year, man, it was rough. We were getting the gym under construction, had no place to practice, but we bounced back this year for real, man. So,
yes, sir. Shout out to them.
Hopefully, it's the start of something special, man. It still hurts. I feel like we were right there, but you know, it is what it is. I will say this: after we lost, I was going through my phone, and I saw that the Warriors Lakers score. I saw LeBron had 56. I watched the highlights, and I finally had to put out the hashtag, man. Year 19. I had to finally put the hashtag out in on my timeline. Year 19, man. That's I saw the highlights and I saw the tidbits of the game, the whole game in its entirety, but That was special, man. You know, the Lakers have been trudging along. Been the Rebels at four or five losses in a row, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they play against the number three seed. You know, the Warriors aren't playing great, but they're still the three seed. And for LeBron to do that in the team of in the need of a big W, that was huge, man. So I know you saw the game. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of it. I mostly caught the highlights of it. I saw some of the fourth. I mean, it's not much to say, man. The TBE, like, you know, yeah. our boy Ball Don't Stop. He has TBE for Kobe. I got TBE for Brian, man. This was special, you know. Even had the boy Mar had to give it up and say, "Oh, hell, the king, man." It's too much greatness. 56 points on the. Title against a title contender, I mean, it kind of made me upset because all the Lakers really had to do was just bring back the same team and add a few different guys, man. Like, you have LeBron playing this good still, like, at this age. I was just sad, bro. I mean, for me, I know it's not in vain because we still have Chase and Kareem. So we still have a legacy pattern we're going after. But in terms of winning, man, it's like, man, all they had to do was just not mess up, man. Like, for LeBron to be this good still, all they had to do was just not mess up. And man, I see why he's mad. You know what I mean? I see what he's saying. Because it's like, bro, he still has a lot in the tank. This guy is still, I mean, at worst, top five in the NBA, at worst.
Yeah.
And we consider this to be one of the most talented NBA personnel, top to bottom in the league of all time. And for this guy at 37, year 19 to be still in the top five at worst. Like, that's crazy, man. It's just not enough words to say at this point. All I have to say is the Lakers, man, they got to get their act together this offseason, bro, because, you know, don't waste LeBron's time. Don't waste AD's time. If you don't have any vision, let them go. If you have a vision, do right by them, man. Because, man, LeBron still got it.
Yeah, that was just amazing, man, the shot making. It feels like he's always, if you watch both games, he's always up to play against the Warriors.
Always.
It's crazy, yeah. So that I'm starting to notice that. Let's take it a little deeper. So literally before that happened, a new episode of The Shop dropped, and then LeBron had lamented that he was, you know, gets pissed off that he's never mentioned in the conversation with the greatest scorers of all time.
No, he's right, though. Because remember, and you see me have these conversations on social media, he's actually correct. Like, whenever you bring up LeBron's name as, you know, a top five, top four, even top three, you get a lot of pushback. And it's like, why, though? You know, this guy's about to break Kareem's record. This guy does it from the perimeter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does it inside, outside. It's like, how is he not considered? You know, for people who say, okay, KD's better, MJ's better. I've always said LeBron, I take LeBron over Kobe. But even if you have Kobe, like, okay, I can see the arguments for those guys. You know, even though KD's never going to have the raw production, it's like obviously his skill set, the fact that he's a consistently top scorer, he's career averages are like right around LeBron's too. I think they're both at 27 for their career. So it's like, okay, and he's a better shooter, better free throw shooter. Okay, you want to go Kobe, he can shoot better. He's more reliable free throw, and he can score in bunches. Okay, I get that. But it's like, man. Like, you never hear, like, it's just weird. And it's like, people will be like, okay, well, then you got to put Kareem in that argument. It's like, yeah, you should. You know what I mean? You should put those guys in that conversation, because these guys put up points and they did it every single year. Like, that's the point of scoring, is to put up points, be able to put it efficiently, having different ways to get them. LeBron does that. I mean, you can say with Kareem, he's a big, but you can't say that with LeBron. He can shoot.
Right.
He can get to the rim. You know what I mean? He has difficult shot making. He has difficult finishing. I mean, the only knock is he's not that good of a free throw shooter, but that hasn't stopped him from getting his bucket. So it's like, I don't know what to say at this point, man.
I think it's two things where people kind of overlook him in the discussion. I think the first thing is he himself has said, I'm not a score first.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's the first thing. The second
thing. The branding, his branding.
Yeah, right. The second thing, I think you brought this up a couple times with actually defending Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, you said that people are so into aesthetics.
Yep.
And then the not even aesthetics, because LeBron has made stuff look good, obviously. I'm talking about the definition of what a score is. Like, the they're more into the versatility than the actual results. And I think that is also what, you know, is what defined in some people's eyes. And LeBron James maybe does not have the most versatile, even though the jumper is coming on, but over the course of career, like, the jumper is not as good as those guys, you know, the MJs, the Kobes. But the volume has been there. I think this is how many straight years averaging 25?
Well, I think since his second year in the
league. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, at some point, you know, I think probably for me, I may have overlooked him on my, like, quote unquote top scores, because I think he himself has described himself as, I'm past
four. Right, of course.
I think that's in the back of my head. But by all means, he definitely has a place at the table. Even if you place him behind, you know, KD, MJ, and Kobe, you know, how far is it behind, really?
Right, exactly.
It's like, even like the last year, even in just discussions with all-time players, rather who your GOAT is, you know, are the guys behind him that far behind? Like, I think it's kind of splitting hairs. So I get it to a certain extent. So I understand why, you know, LeBron feels he deserves a seat at that table. I think part of it was he branded himself a certain way. And then the other thing is we're kind of a slave to aesthetics when it comes to basketball at times, you know. No shade to the homie, Ball Don't Stop. We had you all, but we just, you know, I think that's just what happens when you fall in love with the aesthetics of the game opposed to the actual, you know, impact. And I think LeBron's definitely been a, you know, victim of that as far as the quote unquote scoring discourse goes. Let's go on the other side of this and talk for a minute. So the Warriors had just been in the mud lately. They, I think, since their hot start, they may be playing slightly above 500 ball or not too high above it since that super scorching start. But they built so much of a cushion, it hasn't really mattered. They've fallen all the way down to the third seed. Fallen. They've dropped to the third seed. I guess I got to ask you this question. Are the Warriors in trouble or are they unhealthy? Or you feel a little bit of both at this point, Kings?
Depending on how bad Draymond's injury is, they might.
Update. My fault. Update. Right before we record, I saw the report. They said he's going to play in 7 to 10 days. So there you go.
Okay. Well, you know, like, it still goes back to a point, depending on how bad his injury was, they might be in trouble because he can be playing. But how effective is he going to be? I mean, he's been a long time. He's going to have to get back in shape. We don't know the toll that injury took on him and the impact he has going forward. But it's clear that lack of size is killing them, man. It is hurting them. And then, like you said, their ability to not have a shot created outside of Curry. I mean, I thought that you could overlook that. But in my opinion, like I told you, it's like I always thought Draymond could help alleviate that with his playmaking. With him not there, now it's like guys have to be able to create. And it's like having to rely on Jordan Poole has not been good. I mean, you saw them when they gave up that lead. Was it to the Mavs? You didn't score a point for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole. You don't have any single points. That's bad. And it's not like this is, you know, the thing with the Warriors is you could have signed all these struggles off early on as, oh, it's fine. It's going to go away. It's just early on the season. It's post All-Star break, same issues. None of it was addressed. You also have some rumblings of some unhappy guys in the locker room. You know how that goes. Not good to have at this time of the year, especially going in the playoffs, trying to make a deep playoff run. I mean, it's not panic yet, but it's not looking good.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's panic. I think you said this point before. I think when the Warriors got KD, it skewered the way we look at basketball and teams going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like normally, teams have weaknesses that you can exploit. Like it's not like they're the perfect team doesn't exist.
Of course,
like, what's going to come down to is who's playing the best and who's able to execute, you know, late playoff games. That's what's going to come down to. So I get that, but it's just a laundry list of centers just, you know, punching in, you know, career level nights against the Warriors, like back to back to back. And it's not even like, you know, like Embiid and Joker is one thing, but it's like Zubac is putting up 20 and 15. Like, he's like a cool center, but he's not a 20 and 15 guy. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah, so
15 and 8.
I think it's both. It might be a little bit of trouble, but they are unhealthy. So my thing was, I'm looking at matchups. Like, I think any other team, they're pretty good in the first round. Just the one they're slotted in now is terrible for where their roster is right now. Right now, they'll play Denver in the first round.
Yikes.
And like I said, I would pick the Warriors to win, but they lose a lot of energy in that series. I think it's at least going 6 or 7 because that is just – to going against a center that physically imposing and your biggest player is 6'9", and they're going to be closing games guarding him with Draymond, who may not be 100%. Like, that's a lot to ask. On top of that, Joker's not going to have to, you know, worry about Draymond scoring on him that much. On top of that, like, it's what happened tonight. I think Joker did a real good job. Like, Jonas was making him work, and you got to guard Jonas, right? He's a scorer. But once he fouled Jonas out on the other end, it was, you know, Hernan Gomez, who just can't score like Jonas, and he was able to rest on defense. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, he took it. He's just that cerebral of a player. He's smart. So I will pick the Warriors to win that series, but I just hate that first round matchup where that's like the one team they don't want to play in the first round.
I think we could give them some trouble too. I think the Timberwolves.
Yes,
that's another team that hey man, with Ant on the with the wing playing off Cat and the hustlers and the physical athletes we have going up and down that floor. Hey man.
Yeah, my only thing is, like, if we talk, it's just the experience factor. That's a very valid point. My thing is, Joker's been there before. Eric Gordon's played in playoffs. Jeff Green's played in the playoffs. You know, guys got a team. Yeah, they have a team that's been there before. So
poised.
So I just, man, we'll see what happens. But I just, yeah, and the rumblings about, and the rumblings you were speaking about, let's talk about it. Was Jordan Poole's next deal, right? His contract coming up. And he was seeing something upwards around 20 M's. And the Warriors are just insanely paying an insane amount of tax right now. So I don't think they're going to pay that for a bench player at this point. So I'm sure there'll be some type of trade in the offseason where they move him for you know, something. What do you think about that? We understand there's a fine line between, you know, you want to win, but you also want to, you know, secure that wealth for yourself as a player. And I think that's, you know, that's where the fine line is in professional sports. So what are your thoughts about that?
I mean, part of it is Jordan Poole has to play better during the stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if he plays, I mean, the thing with Jordan is that they're giving him chances, you know what I'm saying? Because they need him to be good. I mean, this isn't a Wiseman situation where it's like he doesn't know how much tick he's going to get, or Kuminga, who has a, you know, a short leash, basically, or, you know what I mean, in terms of PT. Like, they need Jordan Poole to ball, you know what I mean? So they're giving him the chances to show out. So he needs to show out. I mean, if his issues, like people are saying, is that he feels like he should start over a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the legends of our era. I mean, if that's what he's mad about, he needs to humble himself. And they're probably better off trading him if that's what he's really upset about. But, you know, he's going to have opportunities because they need him the ball. So anything about him and his contract that he wants, it's going to be on him, because in the playoffs, they're going to need him to finish this regular season. They're going to need him. And he gets his minutes. He gets his features. He's the second best playmaker, creator off Curry. So it's on him, man. He just has the ball. Like, if you're on the team and they don't score a point for 10 minutes, like, bro, like, I mean, you can get mad at the starting bench, whatever. Like, you're on the team and your team doesn't score for 10 straight minutes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Right. I don't know how much other people you can blame at that point. You wasn't doing nothing either. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Well, we'll see what happens, man. Shout out Mar, praying on y'all downfall. After the banter this week, I keep on slandering the Lakers. I used to be, you know, I still am a Curry fan, but, you know, a couple things have happened. Wiggins knocked my boy out the All-Star game. You know, the banter on the timeline is going too far, so I got to ruin y'all downfall. But I can't rock with the point guard. Ja Morant, baby. Hey. Make it happen for me. I want to talk to you real quick before we move on to the next thing. So back to this LeBron Lakers thing. So obviously he's not going to score 56 every night. I think it's safe to say, watching him, his days of carrying night to night are over, which is expected at age. This is not his plan. Him having to carry was not the plan. So not holding that against him. Are you still holding out the inkling of hope that, because here's the ideal scenario for the Lakers is, they got to draw, you know, the Warriors stay in two and they stay in that, and they can crawl up to eight maybe, or play in that 8-9 game and try to get to seven, or they can't get to seven, so they have to get up to 8-5 for the seventh seed. But I would have loved for them to draw the Warriors in the first round just because of the size factor. You get AD back, like, I would have loved that. Like, Phoenix is going to be tough just because of the pace they play and just the sheer talent after the star players, the drop off in between. It's like severe. Are you holding out hope they can push one of these, you know, I think they're going to have to fight for the A spot. Can you see, can you envision them pushing Phoenix in the playoffs? Like, can you envision it?
You know, I think that's going to go down to Westbrook, because I think between Bron and AD, they're going to want to send a message in the playoffs, especially to, I think specifically to Phoenix, I think they're going to want to send a message to them about how last year went down. I think that's going to be on their minds. I think they're going to really take that series personal. But again, the problem comes down to everybody else. It comes down to everybody else. The coaching, the roster. You know, I'll say this. I think Stanley would be decent in that series. I like the two new pickups that they had. I think DJ's a very good vet.
Yes, yes.
Graber, I think, another athletic side, wing type of player. A body that's capable, again, that will limit, you know, Trevor Ariza minutes and need for him. But, again, it's going to come down to Russell Westbrook. How is he going to play? Is he going to defend? You know what I mean? Is he going to create for others? Is he gonna limit his turnovers? You know what I'm saying? Is Coach Vogel gonna run the right offense? Is he gonna put the right lineups out there? Like, those things to me, it will have me picking Phoenix in six. But I think LeBron and AD's greatness would be enough to push that to a six, maybe seven game series. I think, because I think they will take that series personally. And I think they'll try and show Phoenix that last year was a fluke against them. But I just don't think the rest are good enough to actually see them pulling it off. Again, if they had the same roster, it would be a different story. Of like, if they had the similar pieces last year, I could be like, okay, they're going to try and send a message to Phoenix. But Russ, man, I can't see it, man.
I think that's probably the super optimistic view. And I can't see it happening, man. I just, like, you see LeBron play like that, and I think the first thought your head goes was like, damn, he could still do that, and the Lakers put this roster together.
Right.
But, yeah, I can't see them really pushing. The way Phoenix is playing, we'll get to that in a minute, actually. It's just tough. They have to get, like, a team on its heels or a team not playing well and try to capitalize from there. On top of that, the playing games won't be easy. Like, for some reason, they match up absolutely terribly with the Clippers. The New Orleans game won't be easy. We'll talk about something going on with them in a minute as well. Like, so on top of that, they got to get in one-game situations, right, to begin with, and then go from there. So we'll see what happens. Staying in the West. So with the Warriors falling off and you know, it was always looked as a lot of people saying it was a two-team race in the West. How do you feel about these, you know, starting to come out and say Phoenix is going to run away with the Western Conference playoffs because of the gap? I know Chris Paul's injured. Devin Booker entered the health and safety protocols. But the gap that they have with the rest of the conference, it is there. I think it's like six or seven games up there. And I think they're going to clinch, you know, pretty easily in a couple weeks here, or have it, you know, pretty much safely from anybody, you know, taking it from them. So where do you stand on that right now as far as Phoenix in the West?
Yeah, man. Dominance all year. Doesn't matter who's out there. Doesn't matter who's missing, whether it be Cam, whether it be CP3, whether it be Book. Just find a way to compete. Find a way to win. Man, that JaVale McGee sign has just completely shored up that front court.
Yeah,
it's no Aiden's off. Okay, we can rest a bit in the front court. Nah, JaVale, JaVale has always has made his money for the past like six seasons now. Just his 12 to 15 minutes, he's going 110%, and he's giving hustle. He's rebounding. He's running rim running. Like, it's no breaks now, really. When the DeAndre's off and campaign still keeping his magic going, it's tough. It's tough. They're really well put. They have every position that you need quality player in. They have, and they have quality solid backups at those positions. They have a superstar scorer. They have an all versatile big. They have a great playmaker, they have a good backup point guard, and they have two great young wings who can defend and score. Again, you know, it's for them, they're like Philly to me. Like, at this point, I just have to see it.
Yeah.
Because like, if they do it, I won't be shocked. Because it's like they're good enough to do it. Remember, I told you last year, I said how well their window is depends on Cam and Mikhail, and they both took a leap this year. Remember, I said that last season.
Yeah.
Man. And they both took a leap this year. So I'm like, here we go. So that's why they're still good. Because those two guys who need to take a leap, they both took a leap. That's why they're still a top team. So it's they're like Philly. It's like you just got to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I get it. It's got to be like we see it on paper now. You got to do it. I hear you. Man, I think this is probably as open as the league's been in a minute, I think. So I'm not going to say foregone. They look like the favorite, though. I'll say they look like – I don't see anybody beating that team 4 out of 7 times. But that being said, I'm throwing the Warriors some bail. If they can get Draymond backing up and running, I think they're, you know, quite close to on par with that team. Memphis – I think they can compete. I think the Phoenix, with Phoenix advantages, they will not have to play both like Phoenix or the like Memphis or the Warriors would do. Like the Warriors or Memphis, they have to play each other and then have to play Phoenix on the road. So I think that is also a factor. Even though Luka, J. Kidd got them boys balling, and Luka's playing out of his mind. So therefore, I think I'm pretty comfortable with saying I like Dallas over Utah in the first round. I think Luka's got in the first round this year.
But hey, Maples. Phoenix may not have an easy road too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they might have to play.
If you play LeBron AD,
that's true. That's a great point. So you're right. So they're definitely the favorite playing wise. Thing is, we both said you always got to look at Chris Paul's health this time of year. It's like always something at some point, like something again this year. Last year was a shoulder. They recovered. He recovered eventually through the playoffs. So we'll see, man. But Phoenix is looking pretty damn good. I can't hate. As much as I pray on Chris Paul downfall, man, you know, I got to appreciate the greatness they put on display, man. They definitely feed off his leadership. There, I said it, y'all. Y'all heard me. I said it. I gave the leadership credit. Moving on. So let's talk about this morning, man. So this morning, I caught this on the replay. I was in the gym. Tatum and KD, man.
Oh, that was a show, boy.
Yeah, put it on the show this morning. 54 and 46, respectively. Celtics walk out with the win. Celtics are scorching hot.
They're running victory laps in every game.
They are going to be a problem when it comes down to it in the playoffs. Man, just what did you see out there in that game?
Ooh, man, hey. Jason Tatum has no fear of the Nets. None.
Right.
None. I mean, this is going back to the last playoff series where he was battling them when he had nobody on his team and he was just him against those three because they had Harden, Kyrie, and KD playing against them. And he still put up 50 in that series and tried to put out some competitive games. This game he today, same situation. KD was on the floor. He was not fazed. He took it right to him. He felt he was just as good, if not better. He played like he was the best player on the floor today. And he came to prove that. And, man, Jaylen Brown competed. Marcus Smart got some good stops. Again, Rob, man, he keeps popping on my screen every time I watch the Celtics. Man, he just keeps popping on my screen. He's getting it done. It's a fun game. You know, it was a fun game. The Nets definitely need Ben Simmons to go all the way. His interior defense and his playmaking are needed because their offense, it gets into that ISO game. And without the playmaking, they always needed – that's why I always like to trade for them because Ben fills holes on both ends. So they definitely do need him to come back for them to have a real shot to go all the way.
But yeah, I think they just in the series, like they just throw him on Tatum and say, "Hey, you got to make it tough for this guy, right?"
Make it tough.
But yeah, I'm watching the game. Was like this: the shot making. A lot of this stuff is like, I mean, that's you know, you like, damn, that's good defense.
Yeah,
it's just that you can do. So that's where I'm at with that. And just I watch Boston, and I'm thinking about you got. The best defense in basketball, you know, for a good minute now over this big chunk of games, you got a closer and a guy like that who feels like he's going to be the best player on the floor in any series, just with his in his mindset, that's tough to beat in a series, man. I think defense just kind of wears you down. I think they're just like – they're like Miami with a better number one. That's how they're playing. Like, Miami's obviously been better over the course of the season.
Might have a better number two.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Miami with a better number one. You know what I mean? It's like you have Tatum. You got the same gritty defense, but you got Tatum instead of Jimmy, who is a little better at scoring. And I was expecting you, because Jimmy had a hell of a playoff run in the bubble. But I'm just saying, like, looking at Tatum now, he's pretty much ascending into, I'm going to be in that conversation with Luka the next, you know, six to eight years. You know what I mean?
As I expected he would.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of, you know, where I am with Tatum right now. He's just been showing that on that level. I mean, if he's playing, he does the same thing every year. Reek told us he bulks up over the offseason, comes in shooting bricks. Gets his rhythm, gets in shape, and then from January on, he's money. So it's like the same thing every year.
I mean, I think he has a formula where he knows that he's going to need to have that body to carry him through the season.
Right.
So he comes in, you know, stronger, so that right. He can just keep maintaining, and then he plays himself into form.
Yeah, he's very durable. I'll say that. He's also something. He's doing something correctly.
Yeah, he's doing something right. It's working.
Right, and on the Nets side, so are you concerned about that team at all being in a play? Because in a one-game situation, man, which is where they are now, they're in the bottom of the play-in. So they're not even like – they're sick. They're going to be in the play-in. They're 5.5 games out of six with 17 games left. So unless they get, like, inferno hot, they're playing a play-in game. And right now it's looking like it's going to be against Atlanta. They're tied with Atlanta right now. Or it's three-way tie with Atlanta, Charlotte, and with Atlanta and Charlotte right now. I think they beat both those teams.
Yeah.
But just like that doesn't make you nervous at all in a one-game situation with those guys.
I know their fans are nervous. I know their fans are nervous. I wouldn't pick any of those teams to do. I mean, the Hornets, no. The Hawks, I could see the Hawks have one of those games where everything goes right, and it might be
one game. Yeah,
it might be a bad situation. So, my thing is, I think the Nets will be the eighth seed by the end, or the seventh seed, and they'll play a Hornets or Raptors, and they'll beat that team.
They're 2.5 behind the Hornets at seven.
Yeah, so you see what I'm saying? Like, they'll catch one of those teams, and they'll only need to win one playing game. You know what I mean? It won't be a situation where they're at the bottom, and they play the Hawks to play the next playing game. It's going to be one of those situations they'll probably just need to win one of two, and they'll be in. So it's like, as long as they get to play Toronto, Charlotte, you know what I mean? They're gonna get in. That's how I feel.
My dream is them to get in, and I want the Philly series in the first round. Philly's at two now. That's my dream. You know, we root for chaos on here, man, but that's what I want.
Philly or Miami is just not good for them. It could be the Bucks too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Good luck to the Nets, bro. Good luck.
I think eventually we'll talk. Not right now, but after this season. We'll see. Well, one of the episodes we'll talk about, like, we'll have to grade KD's Nets tenure, man, because it's kind of wild, right? It's kind of wild when you look about what's happened so far since he's been there. Like, you gotta
the noise with him. I'm not gonna give it any credibility yet. But they talking. They talking about him.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I saw a tweet with me. Bansky, I'm about to ask you. Bansky, yeah, I'm coming to ask. You would know better than anybody.
We gotta see what's going on, man. The noise, some noise going.
All right, last thing. So, in the midst of all this going on, NBA going today, day after LeBron goes 56, Tatum and KD have that duel. Joker goes absolutely nuts against the Pelicans. Zion came back to New Orleans from Portland, was cleared to progress. in basketball activities. That team finally lost their first game after the All-Star break. Joker had to go crazy. They missed some free throws. Like, they actually had it in the bag. So finally lost their first game after an All-Star break. They're 4-1. They're a game and a half up on the Portland Trail Blazers for the 10th and final playoff spot. Right now, they play the Lakers in the first round of in a do or die playoff game. What does Zion do for the Pelicans at this point in time?
I said if the Pelicans had him from the beginning, you know, with CJ, they're a fun 4 and 5 seed, man. The Pelicans are put together very well.
Only took them 4 years, baby. Only took Griff 4 years.
It's kind of crazy how the noise from Zion's camp when it's like he has much better teammates than AD ever did. You know what I mean? He has a complimentary big. He has an all-star wing. He has an all-star talent at guard. You know what I mean? He has a nice, young, defensive-minded perimeter defender off the bench. Great coach. There's another young big who's a defensive-oriented big who's now playing more to his potential now and he's been showing up. So it's like they built the team for him. You know what I mean? And it's like, bro, like we were talking, like Reek was saying, bro, like at some point, you have to show it. You know what I mean? Like you haven't played a full season yet.
82 games total in the 3 years.
In the 3 years, like, bro, you have to work your way to what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to actually show us that, hey, man. Like I'm a household name. Like I create wins. I make impact. Like we know the stats. We know the dominance individually. But it's like, bro, you got a good team with you. Like you have to show us you can win, bro. He has to play for. And I think maybe somebody might have talked into his camp about this. He has to play for his legacy, bro. I mean, like at some point you have to care about the impact you're gonna leave on the game. Like, cause that's the type of expectation. That's the type of hype we put on him. He embraced. You know, it's like he embraced wanting to be, you know, an all timer. Basically, you know what I'm saying? Wanting to be one of the best to ever play in this game. Like that's the type of expectations he embraced. So it's like, bro, you gotta come show that, man. You know what I mean? You gotta be on the court to show that, man.
Yeah, I think the pendulum switched on Zion this year when people were like we get it, but you need to get out there and play. I was like, we hear you, but you need to get out there and play. We know you didn't want to be there allegedly, but you're there now. Let's
they're paying you. Let's rock. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm envisioning, man, like today, just you know, they lost, but just they were running this two-man game with CJ and B.I., and they had Jackson Hayes in the dunker spot. You know what I mean? It's like I'm just imagining that same action with Zion there, and it's like that guy doesn't leave. Like I'm just – Willie Green's been really creative with the offensive sets because they're starting two bigs like the Cavs. Yep. Like they're starting Jonas and Hayes together for defensive purposes along with Herb Jones, who's been a revelation as a second-round pick. Yep. So just for defensive purposes, and so I'm wondering how they're going to fit that in. And I think it's going to be, you know, obviously it's a good problem to have. You had a guy who averaged 27-7 on 65% shooting, you know, last time he played. So I'm curious, man. They telling me by the end of March he's going to be out there playing.
Question: Do you expect Herb? You expect Herb to start with Zion there? I was picturing him as a more off the bench type of.
I think from what Willie Green was talking about, what I was reading, Hayes is going to the bench. So it'll be Jonas, Zion, Herb, B.I., and CJ.
Okay, so they'll keep Herb to be that perimeter defender. Okay, that makes sense.
Herb is like whoever's the best wing player.
He's going to stick. So, yeah, so he has to start. And then they have enough shooting between Jonas, B.I., and CJ.
That's kind of their, you know. And even Herb is like – mid to high 30s from three, so like you got to respect him out there.
He's not Tony Allen from there.
Yeah, right. So I'm very interested to see how it all works, man. Like we always talk about, it's better, like, you know, make a joke, saw Banner up, but the league is better when these guys are on the floor. You know what I mean?
Obviously.
You know, he's a generational talent, but it just, so I think he just got to get on the floor. And you know, I heard Antonio Daniels talk on the broadcast today, and he was like, you know, remind him, you know, so remember who you are. So we'll see what happens, man. We got a lot going on. Let's see. Oh, announcement. Unfortunately, now that my JUCO season is over, I'm going to try to do a live show. Kings will tap in and tap out when he can. I'm trying to do a live show on Tuesdays or Wednesdays on Green Room. On Spaces, it's too hard to pull the audio, but on Green Room, they just send you the audio. So I'm trying to host one of those rooms once a week, man, and do like an interactive show. You guys have been tapping in with us so much, so I'm going to try to do that at least once in a midweek to add, in addition to our recorded one, you know, previously. We record on Sunday and drop Monday. So we're going to try to, you know, do a midweek one and have it interactive with people who tap in with us and listen on Green Room, and then post that as a pod the next day for you guys to rock with us. Just giving you guys more content. You know, now that my season's over, I have a little more time. And Kings will tap in when he can. You know, he's always welcome to hop on with me. You know, that's bro and the partner here. So we're going to try to make a shake for y'all heading to these playoffs, man.
Yep.
All right. Make sure you follow. It's Kings, bro. Myself, JJMabel55_MST. Subscribe to the pod. Give us feedback. Let us know what you think. And anything you want to say before we get out of here, bro?
Nah, it's good, man.
All right, man. We out of here. Y'all be safe.
All right. Peace, y'all.